Father, we just ask tonight that you, by your Holy Spirit, would protect our hearts and our minds, and that you would guard us by your presence. And if necessary, Lord, that you bring angels here to guard us, that we might hear your word, and that we might be set free by the truth of your word. And Lord, that we might not have any interference from the power of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. And any unclean spirits that would try to bother us here tonight, in the name of Jesus, we would resist you and command you in the authority of Jesus to leave this place, as we've been given authority and dominion over you through the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross and our submission to him. We resist you and command you in the name of Jesus to leave our hearts and our minds alone. Spirit of apathy, I come against you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave people's minds alone. In Jesus' name, you leave this place and you stop your influence over people's minds in the name of Jesus. Spirit of rebellion in the authority of Jesus, I command you to leave this place and stop influencing people here. In Jesus' name, we will serve the Lord our God, and we will worship him. We will not submit to any ideas of rebellion. In Jesus' name, we're going to be submissive to him. And as we've submitted ourselves, we resist you, and the Scripture says that you have to leave this place. Now leave. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you'd protect our minds, that you'd keep us during this time, and that you'd enlighten us by your Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom. Guide us into truth. Give us understanding. And thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, that you've promised you'd never leave us or forsake us, even till the end of the age. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about the occult tonight. The word occult means mystery or secret knowledge. Mystery or secret knowledge. And any knowledge that is in a mysterious or secret realm, or is gained in a mysterious or secret fashion, is occultish. God is very open with his truth. He's displayed it in the creation, in the life of Jesus. And he's very open with his truth. We don't have to be afraid to speak the truth to other people. God isn't afraid to have the truth spoken to anyone in the whole world, because he's not ashamed of the truth. And he doesn't make mysterious or secret ways of gaining it. Very easy, very open, available to everybody. God has opened the truth through the life of Jesus, through the scripture that is revealed to us, through the creation, opened it to everybody, and they can have it. And when someone comes to you with mystery or secret knowledge that's gained in a secret fashion, according to secret processes, that person is presenting to you something in the realm of the occult. We'll see some other characteristics, typical characteristics, of the occult later, so you can recognize occultish things when you first begin to see them. I want to give you some examples of involvement in the occult, ways that you can get involved with the occult. The reason that the occult and involvement in the occult is wrong... Can we close the windows, please? I know it will be warm. I get warm, too. Probably warmer than you do. But it's better than trying to handle the noises. Noises always come up at funny times, don't they? I was talking to somebody one time, and I was feeling, beginning a sense by the Holy Spirit, that their problem was they'd been involved in the occult. And I said, you know, you may have troubles with involvement in the... And just as I went to say the word occult, it felt like somebody poked me in the eye. I went, funny, that should happen right now. Anyway, I want to mention some of the ways that you can be involved in the occult, and the reason that you can be in, that it's dangerous for you to be involved in the occult is that you're coming in contact with the power of the enemy. You're coming in contact usually with demons, and sometimes with stronger principalities and powers, stronger than demons. There are some that are stronger, you know. And Jesus said some are more wicked than others. If a man has a demon go out of him and he doesn't stay clean, the demon will come back and take seven others more wicked than himself. And so there are different levels. They're moral beings. They choose. And there are different levels or degrees of wickedness among them. Some of them are more wicked than others. They're more expressive in their wickedness. And those are the ones that I think are harder to deal with, the ones that are more wicked. The ones that are less wicked are easier to cast out, I think. And then it depends on what kind of activity they're involved in. But when you are involved in the occult, you are involved with contact with the enemy. Now, let's give some examples. Number one, astrology. The scripture is very explicit about not seeking signs in stars. Not governing your life by the stars. Not going to worship the sun or moon or stars. Astrology. You're familiar with that, all of you, right? You know what astrology is about. You have the 12 signs of the zodiac, which are basically symbols of constellations. And you are supposed to find out from the stars what is happening in your life, what has happened. It's basically, in essence, a form of fortune-telling, but it's supposed to give you some kind of direction in your life. And when you're finding out knowledge that is coming from the stars, it's basically a mysterious or a secret knowledge. You have to learn special techniques. You have to learn the whole process to be able to get that knowledge out of the stars for your life. And so it's occultish because it's mysterious or secret knowledge. And these little horoscopes that you see in the newspaper, when you come to the, when I come to that page in the newspaper, I come to the page of the horoscope and I just keep going. I don't care what's on that page. I don't want to be involved with the horoscope at all. I mean, I might read something up at the top and ignore the bottom. But I avoid that like I would a pornographic picture in the middle of a magazine. See? Because involvement with the occult, God says, brings spiritual defilement. It's spiritual adultery. He laid out capital punishment as the punishment for it. He says it's an abomination. We'll see these later when we look at the scriptures concerning the occult. And so we stay away from that like it's the plague, because it will kill us, and it'll do a worse job on us than the plague would do. It'll kill us spiritually. So astrology is involvement in the occult. Number two, well, I'm going to say something here that I don't usually say until later, but I'm going to say it now because I think I should. It does not matter whether or not you believe in the things that are involved in the occult. It doesn't make any difference. You must not think that the character of the enemy is the same as the character of God. When we get involved with God, because He is just and loving, He will never force His way into our lives, but He waits for us to submit to Him. And then He will come into our lives and operate. But He will not do that unless we submit to Him. We have to believe before God will become active in our lives. With the enemy, he doesn't care how you get involved, and he'll rake you over any way he can. And he doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. You get involved in it, he'll jump on you. And so a lot of people say, but when I was doing that, I didn't really believe in it. It doesn't make any difference, because the enemy doesn't operate on the same principles that God does, because the enemy is not loving, and the enemy is not just, and the enemy could care two hoots about your free will. So you'll hear that excuse a lot of times. Well, I didn't believe in that when I was doing it. I thought it was just a game. It doesn't make any difference. The enemy doesn't care about your free will like God does. So I'd say that there. We'll get started. Number two, seances. That is where people are calling up what they think are dead human spirits. Seances. S-E-A-N-C-E. S. S-E-A-N-C-E-S. Seances. In a seance, or it's commonly called a sitting, things like that, you have a person who usually acts as a medium to contact the spiritual world, and they are supposed to be calling up the departed spirits of human beings. In the Bible, these people are called people with a familiar spirit. Now, that may, it could have two references. It could be the word familiar spirit could mean that the person had a certain spirit guide that they were familiar with that takes them into the spirit world. A spirit guide that comes to them and opens them up to the spiritual world. Mediums do that. They have what they call spirit guides. And these are, of course, just demons that come to operate in them and speak through them and so forth. But it could mean that, or familiar spirit could mean that the spirit that's called up was familiar with a particular dead person. And so they can imitate that person exactly. So someone will come to a medium, the medium will call up the medium will call up a familiar spirit. The spirit knew the person, maybe even inhabited the person that they're trying to call up. Of course, the dead human spirit can't come back. David said, I can go to him, speaking of his dead son, but he cannot come to me. Okay? Because God has forbidden that. This demon begins to portray the human being that he's familiar with, and it can look just exactly like the person, talk like with the same voice, give secret information that only the person who's seeking and the person who's supposedly called up from the dead knew about, secret things that took place, little code words that they had. Why? Because the demon was there, and the demon knew the things that were going on. And so it could be that was the familiar spirit, or it could be talking about the spirit guides. They have all kinds of wild, supernatural things that happen in seances. It's a total lie of the enemy that all of these things are just a farce, because they're not. People do get in contact with demons. People do supernatural things in seances. And there may be some people who do it all as a hoax. There may be some people who do that, but there are many people who really are involved in the occult and contact the power of the enemy.
David said,
I can go to him, speaking of his dead son, but he cannot come to me. You see, in other words, I could die, David could die and go to him and be where he is, but the son can't come back. Because they thought, well, now that the son's dead, he's probably going to kill himself. And he gets up and he says, well, I'll eat now. And they go, you're going to eat now? You fasted when he was alive, you're going to eat now that he's dead? Aren't you going to mourn? He says, well, I can go to him, but he can't come to me. I can't bring him back now. See? Get the idea? Okay, here's a thought for you concerning calling up the dead. God says that we are not to contact the dead in any way or to try to contact the dead in any way. Now, some of you may have been raised in the Catholic Church where people were prone to talk to the saints. If those are dead human beings, God has forbidden you to make contact with dead human beings. We're going to look at the scripture later. We're going to have one section where we just go through scriptures on that. Okay? You get all kinds of supernatural things happening there. You can look in the Encyclopedia Britannica under the word ectoplasm, and it will give you descriptions of what are called ectoplasmic emulations. You know what that is? Well, I've never heard of it before. This is where a demon takes protoplasm out of the body of the medium, extracts it out, and sometimes it comes out the nose, eyes, ears, sometimes out of from the center of the stomach. It goes out onto a place, like a table or a chair, and it's like a pile of jelly. Then it begins to rise up in fibers, sort of like cheesecloth or fiberglass, and it'll take the form usually of a human being. Sometimes they do animals, but usually it's of a human being. This thing will come up, it'll say it's so-and-so from such-and-such a century, speaking as if it were a dead human spirit when it's really a demon, and then will lay hands on people, pray for people, teach them things, teach them doctrines of demons. That's where, of course, it's coming from, is doctrines of demons. And then afterwards, it will crumple back down into a pile of jelly again and slowly flow back into the body of the medium. Those kind of things happen. They do. And you can read in the Encyclopedia Britannica about some of their experiments with that, where they put a medium on one scale, and he had the ectoplasm go on the other scale, and they were measuring out. He lost exactly the same amount of weight as was gained on the other side, and that kind of thing. Encyclopedia Britannica. So, seances, yes, are definite contact with the enemy and involvement in the occult. Number three, Ouija boards. O-U-I-J-A. We commonly call Ouija boards, which is any flat surface that has the letters of the alphabet, the numbers 1 through 10 or 0 through 9, and yes and no, and something that can point to those letters and numbers. And some people do it with a tabletop, with a wine glass, and pieces of paper. You don't have to be fancy. You see, a demon will do anything he can to get a hold of you. When a demon takes control then of the person's hand or the glass and moves it around, they can ask questions and the thing will spell out answers. And that's definite involvement with the occult, because it's a demon that is operating that. And I believe all the boards that you find in the store are blank, But when people get involved with those things, then demons come to operate them. Had some interesting experiences with those. I had fun with one time. A guy was operating a Ouija board, and we felt that, the four of us, Christians, felt we should go to this public demonstration and follow it all up. We felt the Lord wanted us to do that, to show the power of God over the power of the enemy, and to expose it for what it was. So we went, and we were standing around, and this guy was trying to get a hold of Tom. He had a slick tabletop with a wine glass, and was trying to get a hold of Tom, that he'd been working through for 8 years, had talked with Tom. The spirit was supposedly called Tom. I thought, yeah, sure. Probably got some other name, you know, fear or destruction or something like that. And he's trying to get Tom to work, and I was standing off to the side praying. Trying to be inconspicuous. Every now and then I'd speak in tongues, you know, and Tom would go a little weird around the board, and he wouldn't answer this guy. And finally the guy looked up, and he saw my lips moving, and he said, "Are you praying?" I didn't want to answer him, so I didn't say anything. He said, "Tom doesn't like it when God's around." I thought, I bet Tom doesn't like it when God's around. You can see why Tom wouldn't like it when God's around. You know, it was interesting that he associated my praying with God and Tom with something else. Isn't that interesting? See, people enter into these things. It's not that they necessarily are ignorant of what's happening and what they're in contact with. Well, he went around the group asking, "Well, Tom, will you answer questions for so-and-so?" And I'd pray. Tom didn't respond. "Will you answer questions for this person?" Tom wouldn't respond. We went all the way around the group, and it got to me, and he said, "Will you answer questions for Mike?" And he said, "Yes." Immediately snapped into yes, went straight to yes. He went, "Aha, there's Tom." See, Tom's finally coming around. And he said, how many questions will you answer for Mike?" And he went to the number 8, and I said, "He'll answer as many questions as I want him to answer." I got no demon's going to tell me how many questions he's going to answer. So we started asking questions, and I said, "Well, okay, I get to ask the questions, right?" So we started asking questions like, "Will you confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." And all these people standing around were going, "Oh." They were beginning to see some things. And the other three people that were there were helping me ask questions. "How about this one, Mike?" And they were taking all the scriptural tests for demons, how to test spirits, and we were putting them to the enemy. And asked him who the leader of his kingdom was. And he said, "God." And I said, "That's a lie." And the guy said, "Is that a lie, Tom?" And it very, very, it was resisting all the way, went over to yes. I thought, "Ah." I said, "So you see, that's a lie. Tom, you tell the truth about that in the name of Jesus." And he went over, started spelling out Beelzebub. Ah. So we know who that is. Yeah. You know, the word Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. Anyway, he was a god in Egypt. Ouija boards, yes. Involvement with the enemy. Straight contact with the devil. In the sense of the enemy, not necessarily Lucifer. Number 4, involvement with I Ching. I-C-H-I-N-G. The book of I Ching, which comes out of Chinese animism. That is the idea that everything had a spirit. And so they worship different things, like a tree has a spirit, water has spirit, sky has spirit, and that kind of stuff. And those, of course, are just demons manifesting themselves in certain fashion, so people will worship the demons. And out of this came a whole system of chants, what they supposedly is chants, but it really works through demons, where you throw some sticks, bones. This guy was, one guy was, I saw, was throwing coins, American nickels. And when they get a certain configuration, then it makes a long or a broken line, a continuous or a broken line, like this. Okay? And that is called a hexagram. And then you look up in the corner, there are certain configurations. You look up in the corner of the book and find the hexagram that you have thrown with these sticks or whatever. And then it gives you certain information about you, about your situation, about your future, and things like that. That's called the Book of I Ching. And that's very much like astrology. It's supposed to give you some kind of information. It's really another fortune-telling device. So in case you see somebody doing that sometime, you ask them what they're doing. You might have an opportunity to minister to somebody, or it may be right for you just to turn around and leave. Number five, tarot cards, T-A-R-O-T. Tarot cards are fortune-telling cards with different pictures on them. Depends on the way you lay them out and what cards come up at what particular position on the board as to what your fortune is. And people use these to tell fortunes. I was on the street in Santa Cruz, and there was a guy sitting on the corner. Everything weird happens in Santa Cruz, I think. There was a guy sitting on the corner telling people's fortunes with tarot cards. You know, give him 25 cents, he'd tell your fortune for you. And it's that blatant, so you don't have to go far to find some involvement in the occult, if you want to. Fortune-telling cards. Number six, astral projection, or out-of-body travel, or out-of-body experiences, OBE, out-of-body experiences, are involvement in the occult. Usually I just assume that if a person has had out-of-body experiences, that they need to be delivered. I just assume that they have demons already, if they've had out-of-body experiences. Now, I am not sure. You know what out-of-body experiences are, where people are supposed to go out of, their spirit is supposed to go out of their body and travel around. They can go to different planets. They can go to somebody else's house, see what happens, and then supposedly they can come back, and I believe it, they can come back and tell the person, you know, last night I came to visit you in my astral body, that it may mean their spirit. I came to visit you, and you were doing this. And they can tell them exactly what the person was doing. You see? Well, sure, they can get information like that because demons can tell what is going on in people's lives and communicate that kind of thing to other people. Now, whether or not the people actually go out of their bodies or the demons just make them have hallucinations like that, so they can use their bodies, I don't know. The scripture says the body without the spirit is dead. And so I would think that they would be dead during that time if they went out of their bodies. But a lot of people that have done astral projection say that there is a long cord connected between you and your body. They get that impression so that it keeps the body alive. So I guess that's how they explain that. So I don't know exactly what is happening at that point, but it is very definitely demonic. Number seven, witchcraft, magic, things like that. Now, in classical witchcraft, they do not believe in the supernatural. Did you know that? In classical witchcraft, they do not believe in the supernatural. They believe that everything is natural. Natural causes. It's a completely closed system. Everything's natural. But that natural things give off forces. And you can learn to harness these forces. If you learn the proper procedures, the proper words to say, the proper things to do with your hands, and get to know the proper people, they say, you can get a hold of these natural forces that come, that emanate out of different objects, especially living things, but out of objects in general. You can use those forces. So when they use a force and get a hold of a force to levitate something, like themselves or a chair or whatever, when they lift something up off of the ground, then they say that they are getting in contact with natural forces to be able to do that, because they do not recognize the supernatural. Now, whether you use it for good or you use it for evil, you're still using the same force. And so if you use it for good, you're called a white magician. And if you use it for evil, you're called a black magician. Does that remind you of something you've seen lately?
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just a grand exposition of classical witchcraft. You see, you've got a white magician, you've got a black magician, and the force lends itself equally to either one. Okay. Either one can use the force. It just depends on how you learn to use it. And Obi-Wan Kenobi even tells Luke when they're in the ship on the way to wherever they were going and ended up at the Death Star. He even tells him, some of the ancients say that things give off a force. And some of them say only living things, and some of them say all things. And it's just an exposition of witchcraft. Okay? Now, I enjoyed the movie, liked the action, I'm a science fiction nut, but when I go to things like that, I have to look at it afterwards and say, what was the philosophy behind this film, so that I can objectively criticize it and say, this is where it's wrong. Okay? I think it's okay to enjoy things like that. There are some movies, of course, I won't go to because of just the nature of the movie, but I think we should understand what we're seeing when we see it. Number 8, extrasensory perception, ESP, mental telepathy, whatever you want to call those things, in seances and in spiritualism, is called other things, clairvoyance, clairaudience. You have things like telekinesis, moving things with the power of your mind. But extrasensory perception, to be able to perceive something that's not according to your five senses, that kind of activity can come from demons. That can happen through demons. And mental telepathy, trying to read other people's minds, is involvement with the occult. Now, I'm not going to go into, I do hope you have something on it in the school, I'm not going to go into how to judge whether a gift is from the Holy Spirit or not. That's another whole series of lectures. It's a whole week of them. But the difference, I'll give you the basic difference. If a person is involved in the occult, their knowledge and their supernatural abilities will either center in on themselves or some other selfish motive. When a person is involved with the power of the Holy Spirit and exhibits supernatural things, it will always glorify Jesus. And you have to be careful because sometimes they'll use the name Jesus, but you have to see who it is that's being glorified. Is it the person who's being glorified or is Jesus being glorified? Edgar Cayce had healing powers and extrasensory perception, which looked very much like the word of knowledge, but the person who got glorified through it all was Edgar Cayce. Number 9, any form of fortune telling, palm reading, reading tea leaves, coffee grounds. They use coffee grounds in Holland because they drink more coffee than they do tea. So tea leaf reading, coffee grounds, crystal ball gazing, pendulum swinging, anything like that that's how to find out some knowledge apart from what God says you can find in the scripture and in the life of Jesus. Crystal balls, you know, people get this funny idea that crystal balls are just, they're just crystal balls. And people make funny little jokes about them and so forth. Well, I lived with a guy that had lived with a witch before he became a Christian. And she had a crystal ball. And she was using it one night. And she said, "Would you like me to tell something about you?" And he said, "Sure, go ahead." And he's not realizing the danger involved. And he said, she went into a trance, and that thing lit up like a television set, just a plain crystal ball. He said, came on, strictly detailed pictures, just like a television. Yeah? Showed pictures about him, past, present, and future. Be careful kind of things we think about these crystal balls, because they're real. Palm reading is, of course, occultish. Somebody's going to tell you your future by reading your palm, tea leaves, and all that kind of stuff. Any form of fortune-telling. Number 10, superstition. All the superstitions that we have basically come from an occultish source. Things like dropping a box of pins, cracking a mirror, walking under a ladder, having a black cat run across in front of you. Now, I've met cats with demons in them. Rather interesting cats, I should say. Walk through walls. Things like that. Finally got rid of it, they did, and I was glad. But I can see where some of those things came out, you know, out of in times past where people really became afraid of black cats because they may have met a black cat with a demon in it. Demons can be an animal. They went into the pig, you know, when Jesus cast the demons out. I met a cat with a demon in it that was trying to resist, keep me from coming up the stairs to witness at a house once when I was going door to door with YWAM. Said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." The cat took off. Never saw it again. anyway, yeah, some of these things, like opening an umbrella inside the house, stepping on a spider, knocking over the salt shaker, your ears tingling, knocking on wood, name another superstition.
Cat on the bed.
Cat on the bed? Oh, a hat on the bed. There's a cat on the bed. Okay, a hat on the bed, I've never heard of that one. Walking under ladders, I said that. Before cracking a mirror, yeah. Stepping on cracks in the sidewalk. Throwing salt over your shoulder. Yeah. Huh? Bird flying in the house. Rabbit's feet. Four-leaf clovers. Saying God bless you or Gesundheit when you sneeze. Horseshoes? Yeah, horseshoes. Comes from the idea that when you sneezed, that the demon was leaving you, and you had to say God bless you, so that that God would bless you, so the demon wouldn't come back in. Covering your mouth when you yawn, so your spirit won't leave your body. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's polite to cover your mouth when you yawn and so forth, but. Any others you can think of? Superstitions, yes, those things basically come from occultist things. So, celebration of Halloween. Celebration of Halloween. Halloween was a Druid celebration to counter the next day, which is All Saints Day. And they had a witchcraft celebration in opposition to the saints. And so that's the celebration of witchcraft is, or Halloween is a celebration of witchcraft. Water witching. No, that's occultish too. Find Christians doing that. Number 11. Yeah, divining. Number 11, meditation. Eastern forms of meditation are involvements in the occult. Forms of Eastern meditation are involvements in the occult. Like transcendental meditation and yoga. Yeah. See, the whole point of yoga is that you have to gain control over your body because there is a thing called the kundalini, which is a coiled serpent power that is at the base of your spine. And through the proper processes of controlling your body, your breathing, your meditation, and things like that, you can raise this power until it supposedly would come up different stations, different psychic points in your body until it reaches the place of enlightenment, or sometimes called the third eye, or the enlightenment center in your head. And people do raise kundalini power. I talked with a fellow recently that he said the kundalini got halfway up his spine, and he realized that if it got all the way up, it would probably kill him or something worse. And so he stopped. And, well, the guy needed some serious deliverance as well. But at least he recognized it halfway up. I'm glad he didn't go all the way. He may have died before he became a Christian. But he was seriously damaged mentally by that as well. The martial arts are also involvements in this because either you learn a form of meditation with the martial arts, or if you don't, like I was involved in karate for a while, and there came a time when I had to learn two principles. One is called mind like the water, and the other one is called mind like the moon. And when you have mind like the water and mind like the moon, you're letting yourself basically go passive in order that you can perceive your opponents completely. And the whole point is to try to come to the place where you can move with a block as quickly as he can move with a punch, kick, some kind of a blow. And then eventually, hopefully, you'll be able to perceive mentally what's going on in him, so you can be even faster than that. And so it becomes a form of mental telepathy after a while. Well, thankfully, the Lord got me out of that and got delivered from it. So if you're not involved in actual forms of Eastern meditation while you're in it, still the mind like the water, mind like the moon, is laying down the conscious control of your mind. And whenever you do that, that's the first step into the occult. And, of course, there are a lot heavier things than just karate. You've got kung fu, tai chi. We found out what the principle of ki was one day. I was talking with a fellow, and he said, well, I've been involved in kung fu, tai chi, karate. Fell in the DTS. They're studying the DTS. I said, okay, well, let's pray. We're out in the woods. Put my hand on him, and I said, in the name of Jesus. And he just went over on his back and started going through tai chi movements completely out of control. And I went, I jumped up, that's actually what I did, got out of the way. And I looked at him, and I said, yep, you definitely have a problem. And so I took him back. He was, of course, freaked out. And he said, you mean I have demons? And I said, that's right. And so we took him back to the leaders of the DTS, and they dealt with him, and he was delivered. Do you have something you want to say?
Well, my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe Christians could be sincerely deceived in that, but still involved with the power of the enemy. No, not everybody. Not everybody's trying to raise the kundalini. But that's something that, well, depends on what kind of yogi you're in. But with yoga, in most of the cases, they're trying to obtain some kind of enlightenment. Yoga, if you're involved in yoga, there is a specific philosophical idea that's behind it. And in that, it's definitely demonic. In that specific, there are no forms of yoga that could be adopted into a Christian framework. See? And yoga is not just exercise either. Exercise is completely against the whole idea of yoga. Yoga is for body control, not exercise. That is something that happens while you're doing it. But it's not for that. It's for body control. When you do push-ups, the whole idea of repetition is completely against the idea of yoga. Repetition is not a part of yoga because you're trying to gain body control. You're not trying to build muscle or get your heart beating harder or anything like that. Right? And also you have people say, see him? He's sitting, he's leaning against his spine. I wouldn't trust anybody that leans against their spine. You know? And you hear things like that, and it's because they don't think anybody can have truth that leans on their spine because the kundalini has to come up the spine. So if you sit leaning against your spine, you'll never raise the kundalini. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody leans a little harder into their seat. Okay. You look into the history of karate sometime, into the how the ancients developed karate. We had to do that for our karate class. How they developed karate and stories of their rising 30 feet off the ground, doing levitation, that kind of thing. Strictly supernatural. And I believe some of the things I saw happen were strictly supernatural in some of the demonstrations, too. Number 12. Involvement in psychedelic drugs is many times, not always, but many times, is involvement in the occult. And people do have spiritual experiences on drugs. And now, a drug experience may scare you to death so that you turn to Jesus, but you should never say that drugs are the thing that brought you to God. There is one way to come to the Father, and that is through Jesus. It is not through drugs. And I've had people try to explain to me that it was through LSD that they finally came to God. And I said, that's all I had to say about it. Because Jesus said that there isn't any other way apart from himself. And so if somebody has come to God through something other than Jesus, they didn't come to God. They didn't come to the God of the Bible. Okay? So I do believe, however, that some people have such bad experiences on drugs that scares the out of them. And it's a good thing that they got scared out of them. You know? Because they're going to go to heaven instead. Because they turned to Jesus. One fellow that I worked with in a restaurant that eventually became a Christian, still living today as a Christian, glory. He was on a drug trip, and he watched a spiritual being step out of his friend, And he saw that happen, and he went, no more. And he finally stopped taking drugs, and he realized that was just no more, because he knew that he couldn't handle those kinds of spiritual experiences. And it wasn't long after that he became a Christian. Now, some of the things where you're involved in the occult are based on normal things. They're based on actual facts, but the use of them is wrong, such as acupuncture. Acupuncture comes out of Chinese animism, based on that, and the idea of it, of acupuncture, is a medical thing, but it's based on Chinese animism, so it comes out of demon worship. Now, it's very likely that there is a real physical truth to the thing of acupuncture, because our bodies are so fearfully and wonderfully made that there could be all those connections between the nerves, and we might be able to find, we could do something like that physically. However, involvement in acupuncture is still involvement with the occult because of the Chinese animism that is involved. So, I was involved in hypnosis for over 2 years. I almost became a stagehand to a stage hypnotist. And the only reason I was thinking of doing that was because he was also a psychologist and that kind of thing, had a degree in psychology. When I was involved in hypnosis, I realized that there are states of hypnosis that everybody goes into every day. Christians do it too. I do it. There are states of hypnosis that we go into, but we're not choosing deliberately to be involved in those states. They are not an end in themselves. Whereas in hypnosis, that is the end in itself. In an everyday state, you would probably not even know that you are in a state of light waking hypnosis when you're studying your Bible. Okay. Hypnosis is not sleep, for one thing. Hypnosis is a state of heightened awareness, but it's a directed awareness. You are aware of one thing only. So when you're deeply, deeply into your Bible, and you're concentrating on your Bible, and somebody walks into the room and says, Peter, and you don't hear, that's a state of light waking hypnosis. But the thing is, you weren't seeking that state in itself, but that is something that we can go into with our minds, and it's a useful tool in that we can block out other things so that we can concentrate on things. Now, there are some people, some human beings, who are born without that ability, and it's very difficult for them to concentrate, like in school, because they can't concentrate on anything. Everything comes in at the same level. And they can't concentrate on sounds like the teacher's voice, because every other sound, the student writing across the across the way, they all sound the same, feel the same, everything happens the same. Okay? And we need those abilities to exclude and limit the things that we're perceiving so that we can concentrate. So there are some truths, actual, physical, psychological, or whatever truths, to some of the things where you can be involved in the occult, like ESP. It may be that there are some ways that we as spiritual beings could communicate with other human beings as spiritual beings, but it has been forbidden for us because it involves us with the power of the enemy, and God says we should get our information in other ways. Water witching. Some people do finding electrical lines and stuff like that, and they do it with two pieces of copper. Okay? And it's like water witching, and there may be some kind of an actual electromagnetic truth to that. But I would still say that you should stay away from it, because there a lot of things that are involved in the occult have some kind of truth to it. The point is that you're actually depending upon something that's more intuitive than physical that you know of at that point. So, I think until we have good evidence that those things are actually just physical, that we should stay away from them. Now, let's take a look for a while in the Bible. Take a look at the book and see some things that it has to say about the occult. I don't know if my wife brought her list along, but my wife has a list of about 150, 160 places where the Bible talks about the occult. I'm only going to give a few of the most blatant ones. He's ready for 160 references tonight. Exodus 22:18. Very short verse. You shall not allow a sorceress to live.
that you shall not allow a sorceress to live. God said that people that were involved in magic were to be killed. Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. It says here that involvement with mediums or spiritists is spiritual defilement before God. You become unclean in the sight of God. Leviticus 20 and verse 6. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, it is spiritual adultery. I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. God is expressly against a person who turns to any form of the occult. In this case, explicitly, mediums and spiritists. Verse 27. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. And as I mentioned before, blood guiltiness being upon someone meant that they couldn't offer a sacrifice for it. They were to be killed. Deuteronomy 17, verses 2 through 5. If there is found in your midst, in any of your towns, which the Lord your God is giving you, a man or a woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, by transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, or the sun, or the moon, or any of the heavenly hosts, that is the stars, which I have not commanded. And if it is told you, and you have heard of it, then you shall inquire thoroughly, and behold, if it is true and the thing certain that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out that man or that woman who has done this evil deed to your gates, that is, the man or the woman, and you shall stone them to death. So, involvement with the sun and moon and stars was punishable by death. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 through 12, probably the most complete list that we have in the Bible of the occult. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. Now, that, you have to understand the cultural background to understand that. To make your son or daughter pass through the fire was talking about specific gods, like the god Molech, and there were other gods that were the same, where the god was basically an iron, a hollow iron shell in the shape of some kind of creature, like a human being or whatever. And Molech had his arms folded. So there was a sort of a cup space in here. And then they would build a fire inside the god, get the god red hot, and then they would take their children and lay them in the arms of the god alive. While it was red hot, and they would burn to death. And the point was that the people would worship, and they would scream and worship and call out to Molech to try to drown out the screaming of the baby. So you can see why God, when he had the people come into the land, he said, you'll kill them. Big, little, small, everybody in the whole land is to be killed because they've done so many detestable things. You can see why God hated the worship of those idols. And then when the children of Israel did those kinds of things, they did the same kinds of things. And God said they made their children pass through the fire. And he said, it never entered my mind that they would do such a thing. God thought it was so horrible, he thought the children of Israel could never come to the place where they would do that. And three times in the book of Jeremiah, he says, it never entered my mind that they would do such a thing. Jeremiah 19, give me the verse. No, come on. 19:5. And they've built high places to Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke of, nor did it ever enter my mind. You can run down the references on that. Didn't even enter God's mind that they would ever do such a thing. Too horrible to think about. Okay, so you understand what that means now. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. One who uses divination. The word divination here means to find out forbidden information by magical scroll or lot. In other words, it's any form of fortune telling. Any form of fortune telling. I've seen spirits of divination that have come into people through involvement with Ouija boards, in seances, palm reading, and those forms of fortune telling lend themselves to spirits of divination, which we'll see later is the spirit of a snake. Okay? One who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, that's superstitions, you see. One who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. I think the reason God said these things two or three different ways is so people would really get the point. Okay? None of these things are to be done. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Okay. So we see there's probably the greatest, longest list in the Bible of the involvement in the occult. Isaiah 8 and verse 19. And when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn or because they have no light in them. Okay, and so God says, people will come to you and say, go to the mediums and spiritists to find out what you need to know. And God said, no, you don't go to the mediums or the spiritists. Where do you go? To the law and to the testimony. Go to the word of God. And if they, that is mediums and spiritists, don't speak according to this word, that is the scripture, it's because they have no light in them. They don't have anything to tell us. If we have the scripture, we know all we need to know about the realm of the occult. And we don't need to go to them to get any kind of information. Jeremiah 27, 9. Jeremiah 27, verse 9. Says, but as for you, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. 1 Chronicles 10, verses 13 and 14. So Saul, that is King Saul, died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry. And did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he, that is God, killed him, and turned the kingdom to David the son of Jesse. It says God killed Saul. And the first thing was because of disobedience, first reason given, and the second one, it says also it was because he went to a medium and was trying to find out information and didn't inquire of the Lord. He should have gone to the Lord to get his information and not gone to a medium. Should not have gone to a medium. Malachi 3 and verse 5. I'll just let you read that one on your own. Acts 16, 16. This is the story about the girl that followed Paul, Paul the Apostle around. Acts 16, verse 16. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. The word divination here comes from the word truthos, which means a snake. And It's very interesting when you see a spirit of divination manifest itself in a person when you're casting it out. Because the person very often rises on the floor like a snake, just like a snake, hisses, acts like they want to cast spells on you. It's a very good imitation of a snake when it's being cast out. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. Now, why was Paul so annoyed that she was walking around behind them saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God who are showing to you, or proclaiming to you, the way of salvation"? Well, I had all kinds of explanations given to me for a long time. And then in the Greek, I saw an interesting thing. It goes like this. They are showing unto you not the way of salvation, but it says, a way of salvation. And that's one of the doctrines of demons, is that there are all kinds of ways to God. There are all kinds of ways that you can be saved. And isn't it nice? I'm proclaiming salvation, and they're coming along proclaiming salvation too. This is another way of salvation. Well, you could see that Paul would probably get a bit annoyed after a while with somebody saying that this was just another way of salvation that they were proclaiming. He got so annoyed that he cast a demon out of her. And that caused a riot. Yeah, it says a way in the Greek. It's an indefinite article. Okay, so there you have some references. In Acts chapter 19, let's look at an interesting verse there. Acts 19, verse 18.